with you already? Normally you just spray it.
He's gonna have fun.
They do not fundamentally subvert what the character is supposed to be. Like, okay, there was that meme I think we talked about on This Geek in Comics where it's like Batman coming out, it's like, I shot my parents. Or like Spider-Man being like, fuck responsibility. Or Daredevil being like, I could see this whole time. Or Deadpool being, I hate chimichangas. Those are all just slaps in the face of the core of these characters. Cap is very explicitly a anti-Nazi figure. He got started by punching Hitler in the face. He stands against fascism. He was created by Jewish creators, and Jack Kirby and Joe Simon, as a way of sort of like creating this pop culture icon fighting against the fear and hatred that the Nazis represented.
It was a patriotic thing to do.
Yeah, and Captain America is one of the great good guy superheroes. He is one of the most intrinsically noble. He's one of the most steadfast and absolute. And if this...
He is the Superman of the Marvel Universe. Yeah. Somebody well, that he's, you he, normally... He's the Boy yeah. Scout. He is
right.
the one
he's
that...
The, he's the
that's
heart.
His thing.
He's the heart and yeah. soul of the Marvel Universe.
Adam, where was it recently someone was arguing that Captain America has kind of surpassed Superman in pop culture as like the great standard bearer?
I don't know where it was exactly, but I definitely remember reading that.
Yeah, you mentioned that on This Geek in Comics, but...
Actually, I think that was Gomer that mentioned that.
Well, I was giving you too much credit, Adam.
Yeah, don't give me that credit.
Sorry. But,
Gomer, who couldn't even be bothered to show up today, decided didn't want to stay.
Yeah. Well,
decided his kids were more important.
In much the same way that Captain America is intrinsically noble, Gomer is intrinsically disappointing.
Same with Jules. Jules decided that his new fiance is more important than recording a podcast.
Oh, behind the curtains here at Albert A. Geekery, our favorite punching bag and beloved friend Jules got engaged, so congratulations to him.
And to Elaine.
Oh, and to Elaine, of course. Yes.
To Elaine, our condolences.
Ha ha! Take that, Jules. Oh, but back to Captain America. Just this is a slap in the face into what the character is supposed to stand for. Not that any of us actually thinks this is going to stick. We've said that already, that this is like a one-year thing, tops.
Right. Gomer said it reeks of new coke on one of his Facebook posts, and I definitely could see that. I think it's...
How do you feel now?
We've heard a lot of buzz about that instead of hearing buzz about a rebirth. And I think
that was the real reason.
What can we do that was not a reboot that will cause as much buzz or
buzz? That will take the wind out of DC's sails.
You know, I can totally see it in mission accomplished, because what are we talking about first right now?
But they also did it, if you notice, in conjunction with after the movie had been out, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
So keep that Captain America talk spinning.
Exactly. You had the big movie, it hit big, it surpassed Deadpool?
They did surpass Deadpool.
Well, surpassed Deadpool, and now they throw this on top of it?
Yeah.
It just crushed Deadpool.
Right.
Well, it would have done it on its own, yeah. But
right.
If this was just a big publicity stunt for Captain America, just as a concept, mission accomplished,
exactly.
I guess.
Oh, yeah. You got to give them the thumbs up.
You
got to
give them
they
that.
Did it.
That being said, on top of it being a bad idea, the general consensus is that the story was not actually very good anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't very well written. I've dropped Nick Spencer's run on Captain America simply because it hasn't been well written overall.
Yeah.
And it just feels really, really heavy-handed. We talked about this at on This Geek in Comics. It has a very, very heavy liberal slant to it, which, I mean,
Sam Wilson.
Yeah, the Sam Wilson one. And the Cap one will have it, too.
You think it'll be a liberal slant?
Well, I mean, the way
I haven't read it.
The way he portrayed Hydra in this one, they were essentially stand-ins for Trump supporters.
Oh, wow.
Or at least that's how he did his little, like,
rally. It was essentially, it felt like Fox News was the new Hydra.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, it's kind of what it felt like. And,
I'm not saying that there isn't room for politics in a good story, but if it feels forced in there...
It feels very forced and very heavy-handed. It feels like he's bashing me over the head with it. And
he's laying it on pretty thick. Even when, for the most part, I agree with his politics... It's pretty damn hard to read when it's this heavy-handed.
Like I said, you can put your political skews in there without interrupting the story if you do it right, I think.
Yeah, you can. They've done it before.
Captain America, if you're going to have politics in a book, Captain America would be the book to have your politics in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the character is named after a country, and you can't have... a character named after a country and not have politics in there some way.
That's fair. Okay. But we've talked in the past before.
That's a no.
Gimmicks?
That's a no.
And even, like, this political bend can all be overcome with great execution, which this book has not had.
Well, it's only one issue in.
Well, okay, just this Nick Spencer run on the Sam Wilson book, and I'm carrying it over now to Steve Rogers. The execution has not been there to support the baggage that's being put on it.
Well, it's too political.
It's been too political, and it's been very gimmicky for no reason.
Oh, yeah, what the hell is the point of Cap Wolf?
Well, what was the point of Cap Wolf? There was no reason for Cap Wolf to be.
I mean, even on the cover, it was just, hey, gawk at Cap Wolf.
And yeah.
And that's pretty much, they admitted that was the whole point of doing this.
So they're just trying to come up with. Just throw anything out. Is that the way the story's going?
So.
No.
How they one up this is they have Captain America punching like FDR on the cover. That's how they.
If that's
up
not
this
one of their alternate covers, they need to get on. That's actually pretty.
I mean, if you think about
that's
it,
a pretty
FDR
funny
was
take.
A socialist.
To be honest, from a story point of view. If you were from the 50s or 40s, you would have a very different view on today's political
output.
So, and I was really hoping with the two Caps, the Sam Wilson, and the Steve Rogers, we would see a little bit of that interplay between them, about how, a more modern-day political... patriot versus a 1940s, 50s patriot.
You might still get that, but at the moment it doesn't look like we're going to get that at all.
I won't know. This is one of those ones where I'm going to have to hear what people say about it from afar because I'm not going to be picking it up.
It's a shame because this could be a really good medium to tell that kind of a tell.
It could be. But when you really think about it, though, with Cap's politics, he's not so much political as he is. He's wanting to do the morals thing. What's right and wrong.
That's true. I mean,
more than, is there a lot? Yeah, he understands there's gray areas and everything. He's been to war. He's killed people. He's not killed people. He grew up in a time where racism was rampant to an extent and everything. So he sees things from one perspective, And of course, Sam Wilson's going to see it from a different perspective. And then you got everything else on top of it. But Steve Rogers, like Taylor was saying earlier, he's making him a Hydra agent. Tears his core completely apart.
Well said. I also like that you're touching on, like, Captain America works best when he's not necessarily political, but rather representing the ideals that are supposed to be above and beyond the political.
Well, he's always that.
He's supposed to be the best of what America is supposed
right.
to be.
Right. He knows politics are going to change. He's been through it with losing the costume or being stripped of the mantle and everything else like that before. But he has always been, you knew what you got with him. Period. He will deviate when necessary, but that's a last resort for Steve Rogers, is to deviate.
He's ultimately a good man.
Right. And like I said, this just strips and breaks apart his core completely. I mean, everything you knew about him is turned upside down and turned around and dumped. Which, as they say, if written right, it'll be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing that we're flipping Cap's world upside down. It was just poorly written, poorly executed.
With the understanding that they will eventually walk it back.
Oh, yeah.
Even the best writer in the world shouldn't fundamentally update the
character. Well, I mean, it's sort of a rule of comics where a writer kind of has to leave the character in the same place that they found them at the beginning of their run. They can't really change anything permanently, because if they do, I mean, it's hard for the next writer to come in to tell their story if it's radically changed and it stays changed forever.
Yeah, and we're living in a world of, we're reading in a world where you can have clones and life model decoys and all this other stuff.
Dying and coming back. Time travel.
So this could easily turn out to be, a clone Cap or something crazy.
It could be
that
the cosmic cube changed his personality and his history or something.
And that's what it's ultimately going to be, end up something. Probably. Or somebody in conjunction with the cosmic cube when whatever, turned him back young to his prime and all this other stuff. They piggybacked on the carrier wave, we'll call it. And
that's what I think. Some
scrambled it a little bit.
Some evil scheme of the Red Skulls, because even in the issue where he was de-aged, the Red Skull is like, I can't wait for my evil plan to come to fruition.
So evil.
Yeah.
Well, he is. The foil of Captain America.
Yep. Classic Red Skull. Yep.
So Captain Skull, or
he's already been there.
Red
before.
Skull. Red Skull is actually secretly an American agent.
Well, that would be even better.
going for freedom.
This whole time, freedom. He was working from the inside to take the Nazis down.
Shouldn't that have been an Axis? So what's next on the agenda? I think we've hit that pretty good.
The thing that Marvel so expertly stole the thunder from, DC Rebirth is getting underway. They had the Rebirth issue last week, and we're starting to see the individual character Rebirth issues this week with Superman and Batman leading the way. And Green Lantern as
Green Lantern,
well.
Yes.
What did y'all think of the Universe Rebirth?
I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was a well-written issue.
I don't read it.
Well, I am always happy to see Wally West back, no matter what that means.
I've heard that, and I've heard mixed reviews about Simon Bass. Just from the art, I was like, I don't necessarily care for the way they're drawing Harley on the cover, but Harley's one of the characters that always changes outfits. She looks like a little revolutionary, and that just kind of...
I lose track of what Harley looks like if I don't pay attention for a couple of months.
She changes enough that it's not that big of a deal.
I'll always fondly remember the Bruce Timm design from the animated series that she started out with. But, Harley certainly swaps out a lot.
Yeah. From a retailer point of view, it's been our best-selling issue in a good long while.
That's cool. They've actually been doing some deceptively good work with Harley Quinn on things like being in abusive relationships. That's something I'm hearing coming out of this, is that there's some legit heart to the story nowadays. The way she's interacting with the Joker and moving on from him, it seems. That's one of those things where it's going to be really crappy when someone decides, oh, she's back with the Joker again. Because that is inevitably going to happen.
No, it has to. It's just the way it goes.
It'd be cool if it didn't, but fully expect it to.
So, and that's that to me is one of the big arguments for a lot of the indie books. Because you can't actually get long-term growth in a character. It's hard to get that
the only time,
in the major
characters.
Yeah, the
only time you get long-term growth in a character is if you have, like, really, really long major runs. Like Geoff Johns' run on Green Lantern. The only time you get major change is when you have a writer who's actually there for, like, a decade.
Yeah.
And the only reason why you get the change is because he just redefines.
Oh, and Geoff Johns on Wally West back in the day.
Yeah.
Growing up, marrying, having a family.
Well, that was all it was back in the day, though. It was long runs. I mean, that's why they I mean, now it's short attention spans.
And that's the Scott Snyder New 52 Batman run. Is that probably will be the longest run we'll see, and for a while. I mean, once Geoff Johns ended his run, and this, I mean. Are we going to see another 10-year run out of anybody?
Not out of Geoff Johns, because he's busy salvaging DC Cinematic Universe.
I don't think you're going to see any long runs from any comic anymore.
I mean,
I'm hoping Tom King stays on Batman for a while.
Yeah, I've got that issue. I'm looking forward to reading the start of that this week.
I read, and it was a Marvel thing, that they're looking at doing 12, maybe 24 issues. And then a new number one comes out.
Oh, yeah. Marvel's been going lately to where you get about 20, between 20 to 30 issues,
yeah.
Right.
And then they reboot it.
You can get exceptions with, like, exceptional talents like Hickman on Avengers or Jason Aaron on Thor.
Well, even then,
right.
Those Avengers books, didn't get past 50.
But what they're doing, though, is it's a money thing. It's number one sell.
This is true.
So, and they also want to make it more like a TV show, I think they said.
Yeah.
You have season one, then a season two, then a season three, and on from there. You won't have...
Well, you know, I don't mind them coming out with a new number one if it's not necessarily a reboot. Like,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like
you
Thor.
Know,
Thor. Right. I mean, Thor's been rebooted a couple times, but it's the
but
same
it's
writer.
It's
the
same story.
Story.
Well, they
you know?
See, I'm going to draw the distinction again between renumbering and reboot.
Yeah,
I don't mind. There is
the
a difference.
Right.
There is a difference.
So renumbering is fine to me.
Yeah. Reset the continuity.
Right. It
is,
makes
no
collecting a little confusing, but yeah.
Right, but that's what they want to do. Like I said, they want to do it as like a season of TV. You have season one. Season two, season three, season four, and it be all in the same, no reboots. Just that's the way they want to do it. They can have their big events, their number
one. It's been working for Marvel.
And it's probably better for new readers that way because, like, the number one are advertised as, hey, jump on here, new readers.
Right.
Well, it's not always the case where that's actually true, but
no.
Continuity for comics is so dense that...
You kind of have to
throw
just,
them a bone.
Yeah, you gotta jump into it. It's
Marvel,
hard.
Yeah. Well, Marvel tried it first with the .1 issues. That's jumping on points.
Those failed, though.
Right,
those
they did
bad.
Fail. But that's why they're going to number one issues instead.
Yeah.
But with the... Let's get back to Rebirth.
Yeah, back to Rebirth. Overall, I thought it was pretty good. I do not care for the Watchmen being involved.
Yeah.
I don't like that direction because Watchmen is both... It's as close to a sacred property as you can have in comics. It's argued by many to be the best comic book ever written, and that story was well told, and it was done. It does not need more story. Leave it alone. And then also from the other perspective, what are the Watchmen bringing to the table for the DC universe?
Sales. Watchmen is one of... Watchmen,
okay, but narrative-wise, what are they
Narrative-wise,
they're
not bringing anything. Narrative-wise, there are characters who they are already analogs to that exist in the DC universe.
They are copycats of characters that DC
is narrative,
already
narrative-wise, they are bringing nothing to the table. But sales-wise, Watchmen sells. It's one of the highest... selling
now,
books.
Are they part of the DC Universe Rebirth? Is this one universe or is this a multiverse?
That is a good question.
I think they're still sticking with the idea of there being a multiverse.
Well, there is a multiverse because they brought it back with Multiversity.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a Multiversity 2 at some point. I know that.
What's the status quo after Convergence?
Convergence is pretty much they recreated the multiverse. All the timelines that you love are still around, but they're just in the multiverse somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
But Convergence sucked.
DC and X-Men, but, man. They both just have the weirdest continuity.
So I want to know, are we going to have a new 52 line? Like no. The Earth 2 line?
No, you're not. That, you're not going to have... You'll have an Earth 2 book, but that's about it. So my biggest problem with this DC Rebirth book is, like, I thought it was really well written, the issue itself. Geoff Johns really knows Wally, and there were some nice actual character moments.
Yeah, lots of powerful, like him reuniting with Barry was great.
Yeah,
him
and Iris reuniting with Iris was heartbreaking.
Linda.
Or Linda.
That really tires at the heartstrings there.
But my biggest problem is it felt like they are building up yet again to another crisis event. With Dr. Manhattan this time
next summer, they'll be duking it out with Doc Manhattan and I guess Night Owl? I don't know.
I guess because somebody has stolen 10 years from DC.
Well, you say somebody. That's another problem with using Watchmen. None of them besides Dr. Manhattan are a legit threat.
So Dr. Manhattan has stolen 10 years out of the DC Universe continuity.
Dick move, Doc Manhattan.
Exactly. So what was already a confusing New 52 continuity has gotten even more confusing because 10 years has been stolen and it just feels like they're gearing up to another crisis, and I cannot tell you the last time I actually liked a crisis event from DC.
Unless you're... Oh, from DC, sure.
From DC. The last crisis event I liked was Secret Wars, but that's a Marvel book.
And it was great.
It was great.
And it's worth mentioning that Secret Wars, if nothing else, is a great proof of concept that events can be out-freaking-standing.
If you build up to it properly.
Maybe this new event with where they square off against Doc Manhattan is going to be good?
But I don't trust them to build up to it properly.
I also don't trust them using Watchmen.
Yeah. The only person I would semi-trust to build up to it properly is Geoff Johns, and he is not going to be there. He's going to be salvaging the movie universe.
Yep. So, you're saying you like Secret Wars, but remember... You, amongst other people, were complaining because the way they released everything gets...
Oh, the release schedule was balls, but the story itself was great.
The release schedule
looking
is different.
Looking at it as a past, as it has happened in the past, being able to read it in one hole...
Oh, that's another...
Well, see,
that is
even when Secret Wars was coming out and we were bitching about it coming out, we weren't bitching about the quality of it. We were bitching about the release schedule. There's a difference.
Well, it would be better if... Marvel.
I'd like to go back and check the tapes because I don't think any one of us ever complained about what was going on in the story. We were just complaining about why isn't it out right now?
And then they made
Gomer complained about some pacing.
There was quite that felt like there was one issue that was just all fluff. The big complaints.
If you read it all at once, it works. It holds up very well. Maybe like issue 3 or 4, maybe could have been dropped. I forget which one, but I went back and read the whole thing at once recently, and it's a great story. I would not complain. Nothing I feel needs to be changed.
Now, did you just read the main storyline, or did you?
I reread the main storyline. Other events were pretty good, but they're not really necessary for the reading. Right. Like Thor's was pretty good.
Thor's is probably the closest one to being necessary, simply because in the end there, all the Thors show up on the good guys' team, and there's no real explanation as to why they...
Runaways was great, but completely unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary.
Weird World was great, but completely unnecessary. Yeah. A-Force was pretty solid, but completely unnecessary.
I like that Red Skull book that came out, but that was completely unnecessary, too.
Planet Hulk was enjoyable. I won't say good, but it was...
Planet Hulk was a great concept.
It was a good
pop-up terrible execution.
Yeah.
Boy, y'all give me so much to look forward to.
There's lots to go back and read, yeah.
Well, no, I'm still in 2014. No. 14.
Oh, okay, I thought you were saying 2004. I'm like,
no,
creepers,
no,
man.
You are really
behind. 2014.
Okay.
How's that been, this?
So, I'm getting there. If everything at once would stop.
Man, that Bendis guy is really good.
So, yeah, as far as events since 2004 goes, skip Secret Wars. Siege was pretty good. Skip, what was the one that
I've already read
Matt
all
Fraction
that.
Wrote?
Oh, Fear Itself.
Fear Itself sucks.
Skip
that.
Fear Itself.
That was my least favorite of all.
I already read that. I liked Fear Itself. I didn't like the ending.
It was told very badly.
Right.
Again, it was a Matt story Fraction, that had a great
story,
concept.
Not so much
really bad.
That encapsulates Matt Fraction as a whole for me. Is he has a lot of really cool concepts that fall really flat on execution. His Thor run was like that for me. Fear Itself was like that for me. Most of the Invincible Iron Man was like that for me. I mean, Invincible Iron Man just eventually became Tony Stark's corporate intrigue instead of Invincible Iron Man.
The problem with his run on Invincible Iron Man is that it went on way too long.
Yeah.
He got to a point
where... The first arc was good, but... Yeah, it should have ended sooner rather than later. We keep jumping off of DC Rebirth, though.
That's the problem. It's hard to...
You just got one issue.
We can't really dive into it.
And we talked about it on This Geek in Comics.
Yeah.
Would the starting point...
Twice.
Is the starting point... Have you hope for the books or not?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of books I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Tom King Batman. I'm looking forward to Gene Yang's Super Hyphen Man. Where it's like...
Superman?
Yeah.
Super Hyphen Man?
Well, there's Superman and there's Super Hyphen Man.
Yeah.
Superman is the Chinese Superman.
Oh, okay.
Superman, solid word, is Old 52 Superman?
Yeah, it's Old 52 Superman. Yeah. Like the pre-New 52 Superman.
Yeah.
So the continuity stuff. But okay. Yeah.
Continuity shenanigans, man. What you going to do?
So you have hope. That's the good part.
Then there's Action Comics with Lex Luthor as Superman.
Snyder doing All-Star Batman and Robin, which looks pretty excellent.
I think it's just All-Star Batman.
Oh, is it not Batman?
Yeah, I think it's just All-Star Batman.
All-Star Batman. Looks pretty good.
Well, I know Damian is Greg going Rucka's into Wonder Teen Woman. Titans.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of Teen Titans, Wally's going to be around in the Teen Titans.
Right. No, he's going to be in Titans.
My bad.
Well, actually, no, they're both going to be. Wally... The one that was introduced, the New 52 Wally, will be in Teen Titans, and the pre-New 52 Wally will be in Titans
with Nightwing.
Oh my god!
And did you catch that bit in Rebirth where they're not the same person?
No, it's
like,
his
like they're cousins. That was the exact
Wallace
same
West.
Name. Yeah,
yeah, a cousin he never knew about. That's a good job of Geoff Johns, I feel like, doing the best with a bad situation. He's batting cleanup for a idea that kind of got away from them.
I did read that they're going to kind of take the sexuality out of Starfire, though, for this run.
She was way too over the top, especially for a character whom a lot of people know from the Teen Titans cartoon, and it's a rather shocking twist for her to be like
character from
alien
Teen Titans cartoon is very sort of innocent.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whereas, there was a big hullabaloo when they reintroduced her in Red Hood and the Outlaws, and she was really over sexualized.
Really,
she was doing anything and everything with a heartbeat.
Yeah. So
I know they retconned her.
I think that's a good idea to rein that in.
Origin, they retconned it to explain it
all. Oh, yeah,
so.
Christ, there's going to be two Starfires now. There's going to be Teen Titans cartoon Starfire, and there's going to be...
But you are looking forward to the books, which
so
is a good, hopefully a good
once,
step.
I am hopefully optimistic, but at the same time, DC has burned me multiple times.
DC has not earned the benefit of the doubt for a really long time.
But this gives you hope. That's the good part.
I hope it's good. I genuinely hope it's good.
That's the good part.
A lot of the books have great creative teams on them. Looking forward to them. But once New 52 Superman inevitably resurrects, we're going to have three Supermen running around, at least. Counting Lex Luthor, we'll have four.
Superwoman and Supergirl.
And Superboy.
And Superboy.
So yeah, we're going to have Super Hyphen Man, Old 52 Superman, New 52 Superman. Lex Luthor, Superman, Superboy, Supergirl, Superwoman.
What about Superdog? Is he there?
Crypto's around. Yeah.
It's like the Batman family, man.
I'd be shocked if they didn't break Streaks of the Wonder Cat or whatever Supergirl's horse.
Now,
Comet? Was it Comet?
Wasn't pre-52's Superman, wasn't him and Lois married and they have a kid?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That is...
Yep. Yeah,
there's going to be a book that's that
Super
is going to
Jonathan.
No. There's going to be a book that focuses solely on Damian Wayne and
Jonathan Kent.
Jonathan Kent. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they named him after Pa Kent. Yeah.
Okay.
So, have fun with that, new readers who are looking to jump on.
But it's a good point to jump on, and there's hope.
Better than most.
Damian Wayne, the clone son of Bruce Wayne, and Jonathan Kent, the alternate universe son of Superman.
There's like a billion clones of Damian, but isn't he like the test tube baby of Talia and Bruce?
Yes.
Oh my god. You need a freaking spreadsheet to keep track of all this.
And I would hate to see the family tree.
Oh. Man.
So what are we going to talk about next?
Rumors going around that Brie Larson, who recently won an Academy Award for starring in The Room, is in talks to be Captain Marvel.
The Room. I hope it's a different room than what I'm familiar with.
Oh, not The Room. The worst, best movie ever made, The Room, with Tommy Wiseau. Which, incidentally, if you haven't seen that, watch it.
The best movie ever made is still Troll 2.
You should watch both movies named The Room, because one is so hilariously awful that it's a great evening, and the other one is a very powerful story, which is not a great evening. It's probably pretty depressing, actually, but still a good movie. But anyway, Brie Larson is in talks to be Captain Marvel, so that's pretty cool. So far, Marvel has not screwed up a single casting that I can think of so far.
Nope, I'd agree with that.
Even when they've had to call mulligans and replace actors, they've done a great job with that. Like, I liked Ed Norton in The Hulk, but I liked Mark Ruffalo even better.
Even then, they didn't get it necessarily wrong the first time. So.
Yeah.
No, I actually liked...
Terrence Howard was all right as Rhodey.
Eric Banner as...
That's different.
That's pre-MCU.
I know, it was pre-MCU, but I still liked him as...
He was fine, sure.
Dr. Banner.
That movie sucked, but he was fine.
Right.
It wasn't his fault, that movie.
Sometimes you can't blame the actors for bad movies. Sometimes you can, but not always.
No, that is entirely Ang Lee.
What about The Rock playing Doc Samson?
That's sounds cool. Well, The Rock is just, he's great in everything he's in nowadays. Even when he's in bad movies, he's great in those bad movies.
He's so charismatic.
In Fast and the Furious, which I think we can all agree, while entertaining, are stupid, stupid movies.
Oh, yeah.
He's easily the best part of those.
Well, they brought him in to save the franchise.
He's great at doing that.
He's known for that.
It's his superpower. He saves franchises.
Yeah. And they're talking about making a spinoff of his character from Fast and the Furious movie.
Why are they not already doing that? Get on that, Fast and Furious people.
Don't know.
Man.
Any other... Well, we got Doc Strange coming up. That ain't for a while.
That's not too long. Is that November or is that August?
I thought it was November.
I don't know.
It's in the last leg of the year. Anyway.
Yeah. It's at the end of the summer.
Okay.
Beginning of the fall.
It in September. August, September.
Somewhere in that August and November window. Because if you say October, I know that's not right. Okay. If you say September, I know that's not right. So it's either August or November.
Another note on movies. What about the reshoots for Rogue One?
That's a bit of news going around lately. Apparently, it was "quote unquote" not up to the studio standards.
Well, from what I saw, it was a tonal problem that Rogue One was too dark and felt too much like a war movie and not within the tones of normal Star Wars.
That explanation, I feel like. Okay, I guess I can't.
That's just what I read.
Having not seen either version of the film, I can't speak intelligently about it. But this was an opportunity for them to kind of step away from the tone of normal Star Wars movies, because this was a spinoff.
Here's the thing. The spinoffs are a place for them to go to new places. They don't have to stay.
They get to try new things.
That's really what I wanted, was a darker war movie.
It should be one, because it's about, spoiler alert, the actual mission to get the plans to the original Death Star.
A few months ago when the trailer came out, one of the things we talked about when the trailer came out was that this could be a cool opportunity to see just how rotten the Empire really is, because we join in a New Hope where, like, we follow the rebels around, we don't get to see the Empire really being the colossal dicks they're supposed to be.
Right.
This was a chance for us to see just how nasty they can really be. And if this is true that they're toning that down, that does seem like it could be a missed opportunity.
What I read is they're adding more comedy to it.
Yeah, they're trying to...
Or levity.
Well, from what I've heard is the movie literally ends where episode 4 begins. And so they kind of want to lighten the tone to where it kind of matches the original movies a little bit more. So it's not a jarring shift when you go from Rogue One to episode 4. But even then, I still feel like Rogue One should stand on its own.
It should. And I don't feel like if you're marathoning Star Wars, leave this one out then. Just let it stand on its own.
Well, we'll have to see what realistically, it ends up being, but, if you marathon Star Wars, I mean, are you... You're going to watch this one? You're going to go episode 1, 2, 3, watch this one, and then go 4, 5, 6?
I certainly would. I would, yeah.
I also wouldn't watch episodes 1, 2, or 3.
I would not watch episodes 1, 2.
I may start with 3, but I'd have to have a lot of extra time on my
hands. I would start it. I would watch 1, and I would get halfway through 2, and then get so pissed off that I wouldn't be able to get through it. That's what happened when I tried to watch them all before episode 7
came out.
That's
when you
have
a few drinks ahead of time.
Start with 4.
I tried.
Just start with 4.
No, I think you could get away with, like Adam said, you could start with 3.
Yeah, you can start with 3 and, is easily the best of the prequel trilogy, right. But it's still not super great.
Well, right, but I mean, it kind of gives you... It gives you a little bit of backstory on Darth Vader,
sure,
and all that. So,
are they going to fill in any of that stuff?
What happens between
3
and 4?
3, are they avoiding that stuff like the play?
If you're counting the cartoons, that's what they've been doing with Clone Wars.
Right.
Yeah. Clone Wars is canon. So.
And now with Rebels.
It's still canon even with Disney.
Yeah, it's still canon. Clone Wars was the only, it was like one of the only pre-Disney things that remained canon.
I think Disney axed out the expanded universe stuff, that all the novels and Mara Jane and all that.
Were stripped completely, and that's what pissed off a lot of the Star Wars.
So no more Admiral Thrawn, no more Jane and...
Jason Solo.
Well, at least we essentially still have him, though.
Well,
sort of. His name is Ben Kenobi now.
Yes. Well, yeah, but Ben Kenobi is...
No, not Ben Kenobi. Ben Solo.
Ben Solo. Oh, he's an amalgamation of some of the characters. So...
Yeah.
But
that being said, I liked Force Awakens, so I'm cool with it.
I'll see Rogue One.
Like, being perfectly honest,
they kind of axed anything they didn't have total rights to.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
But, yeah.
They still are producing Rebels, though, which is more or less a direct sequel of the Clone Wars cartoon, so I guess they're giving that one a soft pass.
They're still writing books.
Well, Clone Wars was still coming out when Disney bought.
Right.
Oh, so they got their hands on that one, too, then, I guess?
Clone Wars was still coming out.
Sure,
I think it was
that
in the last season.
It was kind of like the MCU situation where it started before Disney, but now Disney kind of retroactively.
Sort of.
Yeah.
They got the rights. That's the big thing. Okay, we've done movies, comics. What's next?
You guys watched X-Men.
Yeah,
I did.
Steve and I both went to go see X-Men Apocalypse, and I will give it a resounding... It's all right.
I'll give it a good... I'll squeeze a complete C out of it.
Yeah,
resounding all right.
I might put it in a C plus, maybe even a B minus.
So it's not a religious experience like Civil War was to Gomer, but it was not. It was not the worst thing in the world, like Batman versus Superman was to Jules.
It's definitely between those. It is not nearly as good as Civil
War. You can't say it's between.
So let's rate this on the scale.
Still between.
Oh my God! I'm
going to
go see it in IMAX 3D.
No,
hear me out. Between the scale of I'm going to pay to see it in IMAX 3D to
5 times,
see it once in theaters, wait for the video, catch it on cable, or oh my God, I can't believe I wasted 2 hours of my life.
I would actually probably put it as get the video. Well, yeah, I'll put it on watch it on TV. It wouldn't be the worst DVD to own, but... Okay, well, let's just talk about the movie itself.
Well, me personally, if you put it on that scale, I liked it because I've seen it on a matinee.
I actually got a
during the week.
My sister and I actually got some free movie tickets
during the week.
I guess it's worth mentioning
just because of the special effects and everything.
Full disclosure: I didn't have to pay to see the movie because my sister and I had a couple of free movie passes we got from actually several years ago that we forgot.
Even better.
Okay, we went. Okay, funny story there.
Really good money out of them.
We went to go see Skyfall when that came out, and these dim-witted old people who were in the theater with us thought that they had started the movie in the middle because it starts off with an action scene, so they went and they bitched to the manager, and they come in and like we're watching the movie. That was where it was supposed to start, we promise.
If they've never seen a James Bond movie before, it always starts in the
middle.
Like I
said, dim-witted old people. But in order to appease the old people, and apparently us as well, they gave us some free movie passes to use. We completely forgot about them for like 4 years.
That's ironic you say that, because I happen to have a couple of free movie passes in my wallet right now from a similar type situation.
Okay.
So you're saying it's worth a free movie pass.
It's worth a free movie pass. Okay. Well, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the movie. This movie did not need to exist. No. It doesn't particularly add a lot to the X-Men mythos, right, if you want to call it that.
It doesn't hurt it at all?
Not really.
No, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, so it just...
Well, okay, that being said, we were talking about before the podcast, it's in fact a pretty good approximation of the genuine X-Men experience, because it is rife with continuity issues that make your head spin.
Agreed.
First and foremost, none of these characters have aged in the established 20-year time frame between First Class and now. Not a day. There are several characters who aren't even mutants who haven't aged today. Apparently no one in the X-Men universe ages. This includes Havoc, who is in First Class as like a young adult, and now they are bringing in Cyclops, who they establish is in high school, who is Havoc's younger brother, which would make Havoc have to be at least 20 years his senior.
Havoc is at least in his mid to late 40s in this movie. He has to be.
He looks great. He looks great person. Michael Fassbender, who probably will age that well in real life, because he's Michael Fassbender.
Early 20s.
He's awesome.
He has to be in his early 20s in First Class.
Yeah,
right?
let's give it a soft pass, say he was in his late teens. He's still at least pushing 40.
Yes.
He has to be. In the non-rebooted established continuity now, he has to be old as shit. Well, a lot older than he looks.
A lot of them would have to be. When
yes.
You think about it.
Professor
Even
X.
Xavier did
yeah, Xavier, who was like finishing grad school, so let's call that optimistically mid 20s, would have to be pushing 50 by now.
Yep.
Fassbender, who's a Holocaust survivor. I said Fassbender. Magneto, who's a Holocaust survivor. That's at least 40 years since then, so he has to be in his 50s, if he was like 10 at the time.
Yeah, I think he was around 10 when they...
Well, they do. I mean, most of the time when in the movies, when you see him in the Holocaust, he's a young child. So.
Yeah.
But you would assume that his mutant powers were activating, which we've all really been taught to believe that it happens around adolescence.
Yeah,
so you'd assume he was...
It
was in 13 or so,
no,
sure,
I
would be my thought.
I think with Magneto in the movie, because of the stress of the situation, his came on early.
Maybe,
it manifested early.
Let's really lowball it and say he was 8 years old.
Yeah, he would still be 48.
In the early 40s, this is 40 years later, he still has to be at least pushing his 50s, if not in his 50s, being more realistically.
Yep.
He looks great.
Yeah.
all these guys look great for the age they are supposed to
even,
be.
Even Beast looks...
Oh, yeah, he hasn't aged today.
No, not a day.
The only one who makes a little bit of sense who hasn't aged today is Mystique.
Well, yeah,
that's because she can shapeshift.
Yeah. Yeah, she can look like whatever she wants. Right.
Well, and yeah.
That's something you're just going to have to get over going into the movie.
And Mystique's supposed to be Xavier's age.
Yes.
Roughly.
A little bit younger, because like in First Class, they were like in the kitchen together when they were both children.
Right, and Xavier is supposed to be roughly Magneto's age.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the comic book.
So, now Xavier, or Mystique, should be roughly 50.
Well, yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of Mystique, another thing that really chafed me. At the end of day...
Do you really want to spoil that part?
So what you're saying is, the characters have officially reached the age to where the old actors should be playing them now. Instead of the
apparently,
new rebooted actors.
Apparently between 1983 and 2000, all their aging happens at once. They become Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. Okay, so at the end of Days of Future Past, a 2-year-old spoiler, I guess, you see Wolverine carried off by Stryker, but it wasn't really Stryker, it was Mystique. You saw her eyes change and everything. And so that's like, okay, I guess he didn't end up going to the Weapon X program. Turns out he did. Either Mystique was really evil to Wolverine and turned him over to Weapon X, or somehow Stryker got his hands on him anyway, which they did not go into, so I'm rather confused by that little continuity
issue. Well, they've always been fighting to get, so that could be once they went off.
Well, they established that Mystique has been on the straight and narrow since then.
Right.
That's how this movie starts off, is she's kind of like this vigilante mutant folk icon.
Right, but what I'm saying is they walked off together and all that, but maybe they split up from there.
Maybe.
And then got captured. But, since they didn't explain it.
But. Minor spoiler alert, Wolverine ends up in Weapon X.
I think everybody knew.
Oh, no.
So.
Who'd have thought, right?
What happens there?
We'll leave it alone.
Turns out he gets adamantium. Incidentally, Wolverine in this movie is probably the most brutal he's ever been.
Yeah.
They really pour on the gore with this one.
Yeah.
He's extremely violent.
But Wolverine 3 is supposed to be R. So.
That's true.
Maybe this was a teaser.
Okay, now I'll switch gears and talk about some things I liked about the movie. Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy, as usual, are pretty damn good.
Yep.
Jennifer
Lawrence was great as Mystique.
Jennifer Lawrence is characteristically good in the role she was cast in. I liked the final fight. It ends. Okay, minor spoiler.
How was Oscar Isaac?
Isaac was fine. He was a pretty one-note character, but. Yeah, he did fine.
Who's Oscar? Who did he play?
He was Apocalypse.
He was Apocalypse.
Poe Dameron.
Yeah, he.
The internet's boyfriend.
I know that, but I mean, I think he did well with what he was given. I don't.
So it wasn't his fault. It was the material that he was given to work with.
Wasn't a lot for Apocalypse to do in this movie besides
To be honest, yeah. Apocalypse doesn't really do all that much in
that's
the comics.
True. No.
He just kind of sits in the background and then shows up at the end for the big boss fight.
Apocalypse was never a complex character. Never was.
I mean, he played him well. I think there was a tick missing. I don't know what that tick is. Yeah. Maybe it was just me.
Oh, okay, back to complaining for a sec.
He played him pretty good for Apocalypse.
So I think their explanation in this movie for Apocalypse's powers are that he can jump between bodies.
Well, he transfers.
Yeah, he transfers his consciousness to a new mutant, and he has all the powers he did have plus the new mutants. But in the movie, they make it look like he has to have this gigantic machine for that to work. So how did they figure out his powers the first time then?
No, well...
Did the machine just make it easier? Could he do it without the machine?
Remember,
if so, why didn't he just do it without the machine at the end of the movie?
Remember, he was the first mutant.
Sure.
They don't explain him up to that.
Okay, so how did he steal their mutant's powers?
For the first time?
Sure.
Who knows?
What was his original power? Could he do something with that? Did he have two powers originally?
Well, see, that's the thing. Maybe he was like a version of Rogue. I mean, think of it.
Sure.
Rogue.
I mean, I guess
the way Rogue got her super strength
and
flying
and
all that.
Maybe it's not stealing other mutants' powers.
Okay,
stealing people's powers.
Well, yeah, maybe he could do that on normal people.
Life forces and stuff like this.
Mutant powers are just a perk of that. Maybe you're right.
No,
but they don't really explain.
He actually transfers into the body.
Yeah, more.
So he.
But I think what Larry was saying is maybe he goes into a normal person who's just a really good engineer, and he's a really good engineer now. He doesn't necessarily have to be powers.
Right, right. Oh, you mean the knowledge.
That being said, the larger issue, I guess, is that they really don't explain what Apocalypse can and cannot do. He has a billion superpowers that are godlike, which makes you think, why does he need anyone
except
else?
He doesn't have certain ones.
He doesn't have...
We'll say certain ones. That way you don't spoil it. Come on, leave that one.
Okay, next week maybe, or the week after, I'll talk about this, because that's actually another major issue I have.
Right.
I'm not sure... Okay, taking a step back, I'm not sure if the horsemen are being controlled or not.
Right. That's tricky.
Yeah.
I found that very...
So you don't know how morally culpable people like, say, Magneto or Storm are? Or Psylocke?
Or, well, especially Psylocke.
Speaking of the Horsemen, okay, I was talking about this before the podcast, too. They recruit Psylocke second to their Horsemen team, and she's like, I know where to get more. And their first-round draft pick is Angel. If you could pick any mutant on the planet, why the hell do you go to Angel first? I mean, he's not terrible, but he's pretty low on the
towing pole.
Yeah, he's pretty low on the power rankings.
He's got wings.
Magneto, okay, absolutely makes sense. You definitely want Magneto.
Right.
Why the fuck do you want Angel?
Well, the reason why we know is because he was one of the Horsemen in the comics.
Well, okay, that's why the old...
Exactly. But, no, I agree with
from
you.
From the movie-making standpoint, yeah, that's why they do it, because they wanted to have, like, the Archangel is a pretty iconic character with, like, the metal wings
right,
and
the knife the thing.
Yeah, that's a big comic book moment, but in-universe, it doesn't make any sense.
No, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. But maybe she didn't know as many as there could be.
Okay. So you know, she was just talking a big game, Psylocke was?
Maybe.
It's possible.
Maybe. So.
I once said only Olivia Munn was fine in the movie. I can't think of any particularly bad acting jobs.
Bad acting job.
I don't think anyone was particularly bad.
I can't say there's any bad acting. Now, yeah. Storm didn't have, what, six lines or so?
Not
well,
that
I
many.
Mean, in a movie where you have such a big cast as what yeah. you do, it's going to be hard.
I can't agree with that because Civil War pulled it off.
Civil War pulled it off, but that is...
That was different, though, because Civil War, almost all of those characters were already pre-established.
Yeah. They didn't have to do character work for Iron Man because they did that in
but
other movies.
He already had a trilogy.
Yeah.
The vote
still could have done, I think, more.
Okay, so see, I'm going to agree and disagree with you. I agree with Adam in that Civil War did have the advantage of the shared continuity where they had a ton of other movies to work off of. That being said, X-Men has also had, like, three movies to work off of.
But they're still introducing their characters.
But now I'm going to come back to agreeing with you where I say that Bryan Singer is not as good as the Russo brothers.
Oh, could you agree with this? Civil War could stand on its own without any comic or any movie being made.
Depends on what you mean. It wouldn't be
as
much of an impact.
As the character.
It would be as effective.
It would work as a movie, sure. And it would still be really fun, if nothing else, because of the action scenes.
I mean, how they work the characters with each other.
So, say, if you've never seen any
it wouldn't
Marvel
have the same emotional impact.
Of course not.
Not even close.
Of course not. But the interactions of the acting and everything.
Does it work in the, like, kind of lowest denominator of that word?
If that was the only Marvel movie ever, would it still be a good movie?
Yes.
Not nearly as good.
But it would still be a. It would still beat this one.
It would still be a solid movie, yeah.
It would beat this one.
All right, so if this was the only X-Men movie
I think it would still
ever,
be better than...
Would this... Would it be a better movie than this one? And...
Well, my thing is just where it's not so much the lines, it's the interactions of the characters in the movie. Civil War had that. The characters interacted very well.
That's right.
I didn't get that as much, except between two of them.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say that. Three of them.
Well, there's a general chemistry within the Marvel Universe that all the characters seem to have. Like, almost all of the Avengers,
well,
they seem to have a great chemistry when they're together.
From top to bottom.
Whereas from the X-Men, the only chemistry that I've ever seen from the X-Men movies, like great chemistry between the characters, has always been Professor X and Magneto.
In both incarnations.
In both incarnations.
Right.
But yeah,
you're
right.
The third one would be, for me, would be Mystique. All three of those... In this movie, they they interacted so much better.
In the first class trilogy, yeah, sure, I'll throw Mystique in there. But okay, but Marvel, this is once again getting back to us throwing praise on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. From top to bottom, the casting, the writing, the acting, the directing are all just on point.
Of course.
And they make something so much better than some of its parts. Whereas Apocalypse feels fine, but it's like it's been like they fit it in.
Right.
It's like it was being held together by duct tape. It works, but it's nothing exceptional. Whereas everything in the Marvel movies gels together in such a way that it's just sheer awesomeness.
Right.
Well, see, and here's the thing: the current Marvel MCU, I think, is not. They're not aiming for, you know, AAA plus. They're just aiming for solid movies. And, you know, if every movie was a B plus, they'd be happy. You know, whereas a lot of other movie companies, it seems like they're trying to make this to be, you know, this is supposed to be Fox's, you know, super blockbuster, whatever. They need it to be. The Disney MCU doesn't need that. They just need consistently decent movies.
Well, even if one of them flops, there's already two more in production.
Yeah. Well, none of them have been outright bad. The worst ones are, you know, still pretty good.
I still watch them.
The best ones are genuine A-plus, like, super movies, though.
Right. And so, and that's, I think, their big advantage over a lot of, you know, other franchises. They have all this. Like, well, you know, one bad movie, we're still averaging 3-plus. Yeah. You know, or 3.0.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, one bad X-Men movie, they're barely passing.
I was watching a review of a Civil War talking about, it was a movie Bob talking about what will happen if there is a bad Marvel movie, and his speculation was that probably not much. Even if Doctor Strange is
it's terrible,
shit.
There's still two other movies that they're making at the same time.
We're going to be like, oh, well, it sucks about Doctor Strange, but oh my god, I'm so hyped for Guardians. I'm already super hyped for Guardians.
The thing about Marvel, though, is
well, they have enough movies that if they screw up magic in the Marvel Universe, they can just wipe it out.
Well, it's like, even if Doctor Strange is bad, it's just, okay, we won't do any more Doctor Strange sequels.
They got so many characters that they, well, like they did with Guardians of the Galaxy.
They have diversified.
They took this not well-known comic for most people, built a movie around it, and it exploded.
Aside from Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy is probably the most important movie they've made so far. One of the best, but most important, I would say.
Right.
Because it's the proof of concept that, fuck, we can do anything as long as it's a good movie. We can use our weirdest characters.
It's not that they can do anything, is they've got so many different characters to go off of.
Yeah.
Like you said, if they have, or Adam said, you have a bad Doctor Strange movie, okay, we don't make more Doctor Strange, but we can still reference Doctor Strange and nobody, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Doctor Strange can still show up on all the Avenger movies, but we just won't have any.
He can cameo, and like, if they do, if they try magic again, they could have Doctor Strange step in and be like, hey, magic person, you know.
It's like the Hulk. Like, the first Hulk movie wasn't bad, but it was by no means
great
compared to any of the other movies.
But we get to keep the character.
But we still get to keep the Hulk around. Yeah,
because you got the second one.
Since we've gone off on a tangent, bringing it back to Apocalypse just briefly, I didn't regret seeing it. You don't need to go see it in theaters. I don't think you'll regret seeing it in theaters.
Right. I agree with that. Well, that's why I said I liked it.
Go in with tempered expectations.
I like the special effects on the big screen.
And I really did enjoy the first two X-Men movies.
Oh, X1 and X2?
X2 is still a great movie.
Yeah. Honestly, all the X-Men movies I thought were fun. I've enjoyed every one.
Yeah.
Even the bad X3... I enjoyed that. Okay, I didn't watch a Wolverine Origin with the weird Deadpool.
Yeah, don't watch that.
Yeah, like I watched.
No, wait a minute, it was good until the very end with the.
So as far as all the core, I haven't watched that one. You know, I heard enough. I'm like, I'm just gonna avoid that.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I saw the first three X-Men. I enjoyed those, and I thought they were okay together. You know, I definitely thought the first two were better than the third.
Yeah,
it was
agreed.
You know, and so I've been looking at the First Class. I enjoyed the second one, and unfortunately, I've been expecting this lukewarm review because with this one at Apocalypse, because it's such a big thing. They're trying. They don't have that expanded universe.
Well, I'm just happy that Fox is trying something this big because I mean. There was a time where the X-Men movies, like the first three X-Men movies, yeah, or at least the first two, they were good movies, but you can tell that they were afraid to be X-Men
yeah,
movies.
They explicitly said in the first movie, would you prefer yellow spandex? You know, they might as well be saying to the audience, yeah, that would look stupid, right, guys? If they look like they did in the comics. Glad we're not doing that.
Yeah, and now you have an X-Men Apocalypse movie with a guy who looks like Apocalypse. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it might not be a great movie, but at least they're not afraid to be what they are.
No. I mean, now Fox is letting Deadpool be Deadpool.
Exactly.
And that was a great movie.
Right. And they just, I think my biggest complaint on the movie, if I had to go with, they had the storyline, which was, you had the main storyline, which was a good story. It was too many subplots going in. That
they
was
should,
my,
honestly,
I think they just
okay,
had.
Minor spoiler alert. They should have just dropped the whole Quicksilver as Magneto's son thing because they didn't do anything with it.
I agree. And that's part of the.
And also kind of takes away from...
That's the problem with the X-Men.
It kind of takes away from Magneto's character. Okay, minor spoiler alert.
Days of Future Past, you kind of got that.
Yeah.
They told...
They brought it up here again. I think it kind of detracts from Magneto, especially in this movie, because, like... okay, minor spoiler. He has a family at the start of this movie, but Magneto being Magneto, shit happens. And, like, you know, his whole motivation is, like, the pain he has from once again having lost at the hands of men. And it kind of takes away a little bit when you find out he's also a deadbeat dad to Quicksilver.
Well, you already knew that if you've seen... Which apparently he didn't know about, but whatever.
Yeah, the other problem with these X-Men movies is, like, with the Marvel Universe, they can flesh out all of their characters with all these separate little storylines because they have their own movies. Captain America has his own movie. Iron Man has his own movie. With the X-Men, it's like the Avengers all the time. You have all of these characters all together all the time. And it doesn't feel like it's a team movie. It always feels like it's a Professor X Magneto movie with Wolverine. And then everybody else is just kind of window dressing, fighting
but
the whole time.
The first,
and, you know,
but the Avengers
they
movies
did
are
a
like,
Deadpool movie where it was definitely a Deadpool movie and it succeeded. I think they would do better if they did that with other characters.
What they need to do...
Other than Hugh Jackman.
No, no.
Let the guy rest. He has like 40 Emmy award shows to do.
The next one's the last one.
Fox needs to do is what they should have done is an actual X-Men movie with just the original X-Men in it. You have Xavier, Cyclops, Jean Grey as Marvel Girl or Woman, whatever you want to call her, Beast, Angel, and Iceman. If they would have done that, you could bring in Magneto. No. As the starting point is what I'm saying. As a starting point.
Sure, but
and
the
then,
character roster doesn't make the movie by any stretch.
It would help it. This movie, it was an X-Men.
Are you talking to go back to the full-on 64 cheese? Yeah.
Well, okay. One thing
let's
I
just talk
I
mean, about
you
the
don't,
roster.
You don't have even if you don't have to have the original five. Or six, if you want.
Something
to
Adam said a minute
it's
ago
also,
that I
it's also,
jump on.
It's also just hard for the X-Men movies to make up their characters, to build their characters up, because every movie, they're introducing just a whole bunch of new characters.
Right,
well, see,
too many of them.
Something Adam said a minute ago I want to jump on real quick. We can compare Avengers and X-Men by saying they're both machines with a lot of moving parts. The Avengers are more like an engine in that all the moving parts are working in conjunction with each other to build up something bigger than what it was. The X-Men's moving parts are kind of like a child's playpen, where there's lots of like spinning lights and some neat things to look at to catch your attention, but none of them really work in conjunction with each other. They're all just isolated there for you to see. You could look at them separately from each other. They don't really add in together.
More of like one of those Rube Goldberg machines where, sure, they're connected vaguely, and it's an elaborate way to get to.
That's what I'm saying. They need to have a core movie. Like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be the five original from the comics.
It can be whoever, sure.
Right, but you only have so many of them, and you can do a real quick backstory on all of them.
Okay,
of
so
why they got to his school. And everything
if
like
that.
If
what you were saying is that they should scale back the number of characters they use, yeah, sure, that could be a pretty good idea.
And then go off and add, I mean, well, they have the school. You have the core group, whoever it may be, and maybe with the ending of this one, it's very possible that's what they just did, because you still have the school. You still have cameos
and maybe at the end of the first movie you bring in
they would
somebody
do better
else.
By doing X-Men TV show with offshoot character movies.
X-Men would work better as a TV
show.
It is
a better concept for a TV show.
I mean,
yeah, I could probably.
We could have Xavier 90210.
Is that a thing that Marvel, like, is that a thing that Fox has the rights to do?
They have the rights to do it. It's been rumored
numerous
times. Why are
they not doing
that?
What's wrong with these idiots?
Well, they have Legion coming out. Charles
Xavier.
Who gives
a crap about Legion, man? It needs to be an X-Men show.
He's coming out. Legion is coming out. Charles Xavier's
good
son
for him, man.
He's coming out as a TV show.
That's like making greenlit. A Karnak TV show or something. It could be cool and interesting, but it's not what people... It's not like
well,
the property you should be using.
Oh, I agree.
There should be but the, one focused upon the school.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you focus on the school
focus on the,
with training
an
or...
No, make it an ensemble cast show where they go off and have adventures and save the world and shit. And
that's
it's about,
almost
like
S.H.I.E.L.D.
X-Men.
Then.
Sure, fine, do that.
No,
X-Men,
no, I'm just
fine.
Saying. It's almost like S.H.I.E.L.D.
I mean,
I wouldn't have a
well,
problem
yeah,
with it.
I mean, you should start out with the first season should be all about Xavier building up this school.
Well, recruiting the students.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you could do the first few, you know, about him hunting down and finding them, the
training
building
them.
School, training, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you could have them
well,
nice villains and bad guys or whatever.
Sure. One problem the show would have, and this is a problem the movies have too, some of the X-Men are hella OP. Like, Quicksilver is, in particular, practically invincible for most situations. I mean, there's a part in this movie where Apocalypse does something clever, minor spoiler, but for the most part, it's hard to come up with a villain to fight someone who can move as preposterously fast, and they've been showing him moving in these movies. He's the Flash in these movies. He's way faster than he is.
Yeah, he's much faster than what he's...
That being said, I guess they have a Flash TV show.
So, it could work as a good S.H.I.E.L.D. type, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. type movie, like you said, or TV show, with him recruiting the students, training them, and having some antagonists for the season. That ultimately, of course, they get
yeah,
the
sure. I mean,
guy.
You can have him fight like Mr. Sinister or
well, not even
the Brotherhood.
Mr. Sinister. What about?
Well, you know,
well,
you could definitely.
There's a big
rogues
gallery they
so.
Could use. Elf season 3, they could go off and fight the Shi'ar.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could definitely scale
well, the scrolls.
Back some of these.
Sure, they could
do scrolls.
Some of these OP characters.
That's true. I mean, it would probably be advisable to rein in characters like Jean Grey.
Right.
Well,
which I enormously check.
Actually, well, Jean Grey.
Well, they
reined
in Scarlet.
Jean Grey would be a season all to herself.
Well, no, only. No, you gotta remember. Well,
oh, yeah, that would be
started.
Season 4 is Dark Phoenix Saga.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Because. Yeah, when she started out, she wasn't the Phoenix for the whole life.
Oh, in yeah. the X-Men movies, she is.
No,
it's
I agree.
Some extra-dimensional force. It's all her.
Right. I agree with that. But in the comics, she's not.
True.
So she's not OP.
Okay, so I guess are they not using the movie continuity, which would probably be a good idea. Just
right.
Would be
I
a good
think at
continuity.
This point, yeah. You
could
you
use
could
different characters
TV,
besides
they could,
them.
If they go to reboot again...
If they do a TV show, it will be like how DC does their TV shows. It will be its own thing.
You know, and like that wouldn't bother me either. Like I said, I'm fine with the DC movies and TV being
whatever.
Now split up. I mean, the Marvel has done very carefully to get them to go up there. But that being said... Yeah, you go through, you watch season 1 of S.H.I.E.L.D., and if you don't watch the movie, you know, that takes place, you know, there's, if you don't watch the movies and you just watch, you miss a lot, the show is
linked.
You lose.
It's linked.
Stuff like, oh, whoa, this great thing happened.
Right.
Should have spent $13 to see that.
Or at least watch the videos.
You know. And then, you know, with them fighting over the throne, you don't see, you know, the big thing that S.H.I.E.L.D. getting basically rebooted, you know, in Captain America 2, that totally restarts S.H.I.E.L.D., but it doesn't happen in that show. You know, that show, major plot developments in the show happen in the movies.
Sure.
So, that's the big issue.
I think, with them being linked.
Well, as long as they play it right, it'll work. But are you saying they haven't played it right, you think?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you can't, like, I can't go back and get it all on DVD and watch it straight, having not seen any of the movies, and understand it. It can't stand alone properly.
For the most part, it was never created to stand alone.
And that's fine. But that doesn't make it a good TV show.
No, I agree.
A good TV show, I mean, or a good movie should be able to stand alone on its own.
Agreed.
And the few times Marvel has failed, I think, is when movies can't stand alone on their own, or the TV.
Well, now, I think that where that comes from, Larry, is the movies are not referencing as much of the TV show. So the link is not there as well.
Well,
because you can actually watch all the movies and not watch S.H.I.E.L.D. and you're fine.
The pecking order is definitely the TV show is there to work around the movies, not the other way around.
Exactly, except for the Netflix show. They have nothing to do
with it. Well, the Netflix shows stand up on their own for the most part.
They're still in the continuity.
They make minor references.
Passing references, but that's all they are,
exactly,
is passing
but
references.
But with S.H.I.E.L.D., it's major references.
Now, they make references to the Battle of New York whatever.
Captain America Winter Soldier was far and away the biggest crossover.
Right.
But with Age of Ultron and now Civil War, it was just kind of a quick blip.
Right.
They're just like, oh, hey, that happened. Man, sucks for Captain America.
Like I said,
anyway.
Back to your regularly scheduled program.
Pretty much.
Well, I haven't caught up on this year's seasons of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, towards the end, they do mention Civil War, and they talk briefly about, like, the Sokovia Accords.
Right.
But then that quickly goes on the back burner.
Right. Well, I know they're kind of doing a shake-up, aren't they? A shake-up from this season to the next?
The kind of teaser for next season, yes. It's a few weeks old, so just spoiler alert. Coulson has been removed or has stepped down. He's no longer the director, is
sure.
The point.
That's not a surprise.
He's back on the field. I hope it's Maria Hill, because I feel like she's like the logical choice to be the head. They'll probably go with May or something, though.
They'll probably be Maria.
They need to bring her in.
It would be cool if they did. I think that would be the smart way to go. But Daisy is her name now, is on the lam, and they're searching for her. So, yeah, that's, I guess,
The new warriors or whatever they're calling them?
Yeah, sure. One of them died at the end, though.
Yeah.
One of them died.
Crappy
new warriors.
I guess they're down. Since
but
Daisy,
is he dead or she
Daisy
dead?
Left and one of them died, so they're down to two, I guess, who are kind of a vague affiliation with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nobody stays dead in the Marvel cinematic
universe.
These guys
back.
Should be pretty dead.
Now, are they going to keep...
They blew up on a spaceship.
Are they going to keep Bobby and Mockingbird and whatever his...
There was talk of them being on their own show, but they scrapped that idea, so I do not know if they're going to bring them back into S.H.I.E.L.D. now or not.
Okay. I didn't know if
they scrapped that idea?
They scrapped that idea, or at least
they
didn't get greenlit.
They scrapped it.
Because I knew at the same time when they decided not to do season 3 of Agent Carter, which that's a damn shame. I like Agent Carter.
People are trying to get that to come back.
I hope they succeed.
What's her name wants to do it?
The season 2 finale... was bad, but the show itself is worth saving.
It's a much tighter viewing experience than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
That's what
season 1 of Agent Carter is probably the best network Marvel show season of any Marvel show they've done so far. I guess that's that in S.H.I.E.L.D.
I was going to say, there's only been two, so...
Agent Carter was the best ABC Marvel show.
Let's put as many clarifiers on there as
you
possible.
Go to hell. Agent Carter was pretty good.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on ABC too, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Agent Carter ABC Marvel CBS show on the 7 o'clock time slot on Tuesday nights.
Fuck you, Adam.
All right, we got the one F bomb.
All right.
Oh, he started out with one F.
Well, oh, I did. If you caught that or not? I didn't know if you caught that one. So.
Oh, they work an F bomb into Apocalypse too.
Well, of course.
Yeah. PG-13, you get one.
You get one.
They get one.
And they got it.
Who was it that was talking about how they really need to do that if Deadpool comes into the X Men movies, like through the fourth wall thing? It's like, oh, we get the one F bomb. I got to make sure I use it.
No.
And someone else uses it.
He'd be the only one to be able to do the F-bomb.
Well, that would be funny if, like,
Wolverine could do it.
It would be funny, if he's like, we got to make sure we save our one F-bomb for a really good moment. What the fuck are you talking about? And then he's like, no!
that would be Deadpool. So what's next?
I think it's about time for final thoughts. We're at the hour 15 mark.
Oh, yeah.
Gracious, wow. We've been burning the oil on this one.
DC Rebirth has been selling good and everything. They've definitely stepped out on a limb, making all of the Rebirth titles fully returnable.
And they're all $2.99 too, I noticed.
Yeah, and
that's why you have a billion of them.
Right, so... Which I would have ordered a lot more conservatively with their track record. So it's a good thing. I mean, there's no way I would have, as a retailer, would have ordered 50 copies and then ended up going through
Green Arrow.
Yeah. 50.
So even when we're relatively nice to DC on this show, we find a way to turn it around at the end.
No. I'm sorry. And so I ended up, ordering 50 copies, which, is usually my max for a book. And I had to get 40 copies from another store.
Oh,
right. Because I sold through those 50 and sold through more.
Wow, good on you, Larry.
The other store, they ordered like 500 of them.
Gracious me.
Oh, well, no wonder you had extra issues.
I have a hard time believing even the best comic is going to sell 500 issues from one store.
Well, he's got multiple locations.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah.
That could work. But even 500, that's a lot of locations.
Not super into the comic selling scene.
Well, and that...
unless he's known to
resupply. Okay, so, and the other thing, too, sometimes when you order a lot, you get, special covers and stuff like that. So a lot of times, people order extra covers just to get a variant, I mean, there's somebody out there with 1,000 copies of C-3PO... just to get that one red-armed variant. They did a 1 in 1,000.
Holy God.
Man, they were playing hardball with that one.
They say they printed like 20 of them.
Now, how many?
And how many of them made it out? I don't know. My luck is I'd order the 1,000, I'd get it, and it'd be damaged.
And you couldn't sell it. I understand, but that's weird.
But so I've been happy with how it's selling. It's definitely happy that they're keeping it all at $2.99. That makes it easier on me.
Now, is all the titles selling?
So far, they've all been selling good. And it's still early to tell.
I picked up every single one today. So,
Green Lantern, Superman, and Batman. Are there any others out this week?
Green Lanterns and Green Arrow.
Yeah, Green Lanterns, Green Arrow, Batman,
Superman.
Yep. Those are the. Or at least just one more lantern. Anyhow, even day one sells. You look at Batman, I ordered 100 copies of that. Because it's fully returnable,
It's also Batman, so it's gonna sell.
Well, good on you, DC.
And so hopefully they've got some stuff figured out. Obviously, from the retailer point of view, they figured,
they're trying to rebuild.
They're apologizing for.
Well, that's exactly what this is. They're trying to rebuild their goodwill with the fan base. And
good for them.
And the fan base in the comics.
So far, they're keeping it up. Like, the first four issues or something are going to be returnable so far. So.
Well, two comes out a month, so by the time four issues are out.
So,
first one is returnable. We order big, and then they don't give us a chance to see how these sell.
That's and might also be interpreted as them putting a lot of faith in the creative teams to hook people in with those first few issues.
Right, they definitely seem to be trying to put their money where their mouth is.
I hope it works for them. I want DC.
DC to succeed.
And it wouldn't take much for them to get better because still. I buy twice as much Marvel as I do DC.
Right, but you're hoping to do
even
both.
This week when I bought an extra, you know, 100 copies, 200 copies of Rebirth titles, I still bought twice as much Marvel.
Well,
as I did.
Marvel probably seems a bit cocky. Their big event is starting up this week, Civil War II. It's freaking $6.
Right.
But they can, that's almost as though them gloating a little bit. Like, we know you're going to buy it anyway.
But the cover was.
They also have a 9-book Deadpool book that came out this week.
Wow. Yeah, $10. $10.99.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it because it was a $10 book. They did a 1-in-52 Deadpool variant.
Wow. I wanted that variant. But there's no way I was going to pay.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, if you were willing to buy like 30 issues, I would have gave you that variant. And it is, it is the DC Universe.
$300 plus the variant cost.
I give you the variant for free if you buy the other.
Okay.
But if it wasn't for, it was, the variant was basically Deadpool Rebirth, and it had the blue curtains or whatever, and he was doing, like, sticking out his leg, you know, it's all mangled or whatever, you know.
Was that
and it was hilarious.
But still not worth it.
But yeah, if it was I would have done it if it was a $3.99 book. I couldn't have risked it. Because that cover alone, I probably would have sold for $100.
You made your money.
But as a $10 book, I'd still probably only sell it for $100.
Oh,
yeah. Well, yeah. So, hopefully it'll be a good summer. We didn't talk about it. Magic is doing a Eternal Masters set, which is... that comes out next week. Huge hype. It's a reprint set going back from the very beginning. They still haven't lifted the reserve list, but they're definitely reprinting some stuff that they don't have an opportunity to reprint in any other format. And they're reprinting some stuff that's only appeared in promo forms or new art stuff. Yeah, so it's going to be a hot seller. You know, we expect it will be one of the few places actually doing drafts of it like you're supposed to. And trying not to gouge everybody, but
just some people.
You got to take what opportunities you can. This is
just that one guy in particular.
When does it come out?
It comes out next week, June 10th. We're selling it for about $50 below what you can buy it online.
Oh, wow. Well, Magic guys, get in here.
And I don't expect it to last long. Other than that, you know, of course, sales are going good with the shop. We had one of our best months ever.
It's glad to hear it, man.
Yeah. Definitely.
Month, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Last month, yeah. Yeah, we're roughly 1 month removed from it now.
Yep.
So, yeah. So we'll see, hopefully, with DC Rebirth and hopefully Civil War. I wish Civil War would sell as good as DC Rebirth Universe has been selling. It's weird to say that, but Civil War hasn't been doing the same numbers.
I'm not super hyped about it, to be honest.
I mean, it's an other event done by Bendis in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
We've seen so many of them.
They literally call this one is like, they didn't even come up with a new title. It's just, it's Civil War 2.
Now I'm going to give
it's,
this.
It's more of the same old crap you've been reading.
Well, here's my thing.
That being said, it's going to look great because David Marquez is a.
It's gonna look
phenomenal,
and I'm sure the story will be okay too. But it's even then, it's the same crap that we've been reading.
Could we say this is not an FU per se to from DC to Marvel, but Marvel's event's coming out with DC and Larry said.
I think Marvel's event would.
Well, no.
Marvel is like FU proof from DC at the moment, I think.
But the sales are going with DC.
Maybe this is the part of the turnaround. Maybe this is Marvel's
this
hubris.
This is where, if DC was ever going to come back, I mean, this is their chance right now. Because, I mean...
Well, maybe a little healthy competition would be good for Marvel.
Yeah, you know, all gimmicks aside, if they get back some of their old core audiences they lost with the new 52, they'll be doing a lot better.
Hope so. That being said, I'm going into Civil War expecting it to be all right. I'm hoping for solid. I'm not expecting it to be anywhere near as good as Secret Wars, but that's hard.
Yeah, I don't have high expectations for Civil War at all. I just expect it to be just
another.
This is
going to
be
another middle of the road event.
This is tougher
that won't really mean anything in the long run.
This is them. This is their event that's following what is arguably the best event they've ever done.
Well, this event just. just feels like it's just a cash grab for the Civil War movie that is just came out. Honestly, yeah, that's it all is. It is.
Because it's too early of a rehash of a similar storyline.
We'll see.
Well, my final thought is kind of two things. We were. But the second Voltron trailer came out with them finding finding the blue lion, so I'm still excited about the cartoon coming out.
Animation looks great because it's the Korra people.
Yes, it does. And I'm looking forward still to the new Mask comic book coming out. Man. Sorry, I love it.
And just okay,
kill me.
You and Gomer both. Am I missing something? Do people actually like Mask?
We have a customer with a Mask tattoo.
I was going to do that.
What?
I got Batman instead.
Every show is somebody's favorite.
I have a lot of the toys from the show, and if I was rich, I would have every one of the toys from the show.
Okay.
And Split Seconds, but that's me.
I guess I missed the boat on this
one. If I was rich, I would have a nice display area to put them all, too, but no.
No, you wouldn't be displaying my toys in my house. I'll get you a second copy.
So, going off of Steve's final thought, IDW is having this big event later in the summer where all of their Hasbro titles are coming together. You're going to have ROM, you're going to have Mask, you're going to have the Transformers, G.I. Joe, Micronauts. I hope it's going to be great. I think it's called Revolution.
I think so, yeah.
Revolution.
Everyone does events now.
Everybody does
Valiant
events.
Does events. IDW is doing events.
Yeah, but this is totally
I did actually like the Deviation series.
So I did like Deviation.
My initial reaction was that they've already done G.I. Joe and Transformers crossovers, and those are the properties that people actually give a shit about here. But apparently I was wrong. Apparently Masks is like...
super excited for ROM.
Has a huge cult following.
Apparently ROM did too. So, I missed the boat on ROM as a child. Well, never even heard of it.
They are hoping. I know Hasbro.
See, ROM
was
more
hoping.
Of a comic book character. Like, he had an action figure, but his action figure was really bad. Yeah, his action figure sucked. But he had a very long going series in Marvel comics, which is what he's most famous for.
Right. But what it is Hasbro is trying to get a. Another movie series or TV show.
Oh yeah,
on some of their properties.
Well,
and of course toys.
IDW is striking while the iron's hot. Yep. They really built their Hasbro franchise, especially around Transformers.
Oh yeah,
it's been really solid, and they know that now is the time to do this crossover. Because there might not be a time in the future.
What are the early reviews on the Hanna-Barbera stuff?
Future Quest, really good. Scooby-Doo, not so much. It's okay, but it's not great.
Yeah, to jump out.
That was our general consensus on This Geek in Comics.
Yes.
I was less down on it than Adam was. I'll be back for the second issue on Scooby-Doo. Future Quest was a lot better, though.
Future Quest was great.
Undeniably better. Than Scooby-Doo was. My final thought, congratulations again, Jules, if you're listening.
And Elaine.
Well, I don't know Elaine, so it's kind of weird for me to congratulate her.
You still got to congratulate both parties.
Well, I feel like I congratulate the one I actually know.
No, let's be honest.
Just by name.
I'll congratulate Elaine, because I know Elaine.
Yeah.
Okay. Congratulations, Elaine.
See, there we
you
got it covered.
Well, I'm just saying,
we're all good.
If you know the name of the person.
Not that she is listening to this.
Yeah.
So did Jules pop the question?
He did. He popped the question. He popped the question on his beach vacation with her the week before I go on a beach vacation with my girlfriend. And so,
oh, man, you got really overshot.
Yeah, so I had to tell my girlfriend... Yeah, don't expect that to happen, because that's not happening.
We'll come up with something.
So,
we'll
on that
so are you planning to fight for the vacation, or are you going to get that fight out of the way?
Oh, this would be such a romantic spot for a proposal, Adam.
No. Don't do it. Come up with your own thing.
Okay, but no, congratulations, Jules and Elaine. It's like I dislike Elaine. I just don't know her.
It's common courtesy if you know the name of the party.
Sometimes he dislikes Elaine. He just dislikes everyone. There's a difference.
I mean,
don't feel bad.
She's
Elaine.
Got to be an amazing person if she can put it with Jules.
Well, of course. No shit.
So that's congratulations.
So yeah, screw you, Jules, and congratulations. All right, that's it.
Patience of a thousand.
All right, well, now, if you're still on speaking terms with any of us, come see us out in Madison, Tennessee, at Comic City 2. Or find us online at ComicCity2.com on Facebook, or OutrightGeekery.com, or find Outright Geekery on Facebook. Check out some of the other great blogs we do. Outright Gaming, This Geek in Comics,
Instruments of Destruction.
What of Destruction?
Instruments of Destruction.
Geek's Log, which, you know, while I don't have time to join, I have actually been enjoying rewatching Enterprise. Thank you very much.
I still have to watch
I have nothing
Enterprise.
To do with Geek's Log. That's Jules
yeah.
and Gum.
Yeah. You know, and I really wish I was there because I'm probably the only person that would be bashing Enterprise.
I like Enterprise.
I do too, and Amanda's been really liking it too. So
I guess okay, if you're gonna like compare it to like original series and TNG, that's hard to live up to. But still, it's a pretty solid show.
Right, and you know, and even original. It feels less dated than the original by far. Now, of course, it's
well, it
not
should because it was the last one to come out.
Yeah.
Right, but of course, you can't be that groundbreaking after somebody's had so many series,
Gene Roddenberry is difficult to kind of emulate in terms of like the kind of the morality plays he put on.
It really well, there are a couple of moments where I got.
Oh no, there sure are moments.
That was questionable acting or questionable writing.
Oh, okay. William Shatner's a terrible actor. I mean, even the most diehard fanboy of Star Trek has to admit that.
Yeah, but yeah, the subject matter was always really good with the original series, and for the most part, you know, I was happy with the stories told.
It's why it was so great by the time Next Generation came around, where he could hire really great actors to be in his show.
I got one more thing since we're talking about Star Trek and everything. Is it CBS has dropped the lawsuit against Axanar, the fan-based movie coming out.
Yeah.
And they're going to write up rules for all fan-based TV shows and movies or whatever.
As much as I love Star Trek, people who own Star Trek are really freaking... They're just assholes about all the people who do anything Star Trek related on like YouTube or like.
Well, now they're going to have rules and everything like that to help alleviate
good,
a lot of that stuff.
They really need to get the stick out of there.
Agreed, because all they did was hurt themselves.
Yeah.
And that's,
people love Star Trek. They should be embracing this.
Exactly. And,
I'm really glad that we don't see more fan movies getting sued like that. I mean, people should be able. The more and more YouTube and home digital, video recorders and camcorders and all this become part of our daily lives from the very beginning.
Yeah.
The more we're gonna want to use these mediums to tell stories.
This is one where they could really take a lesson out of Star Wars playbook, where they had the fans kind of do a like scene by scene recreation with like people like doing home movies, where they recreated every scene from A New Hope and then from Empire. They embraced the fanhood on that one.
That's a great thing, you know. That they're
when people love your property, don't make them your enemies.
Well, yeah, but
when it's coming from a place of genuine passion and fanhood, you should
agree.
Okay, don't sue them. At the very, can we at least say that?
Okay.
No, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
Playing the devil's advocate, it is very easy to lose your copyright. If you allow people a free open use of it.
The best thing is,
so I can understand from a sheer lawyer point of view why you wouldn't want. But at a certain point, you've got to let it grow beyond the original properties.
Right, but that's,
well, I mean, that's the other thing. Yeah, it's like you might as well get ahead of it because you can't stop it. It's the information age. You are not going to beat every the millions of people out there who can easily do this now.
Right,
do what Disney did, like Tomorrowland.
filmed in a Disney park. They didn't sue them. They just created a movie and bought up every IP address that they could get, or every domain with Tomorrowland in it. So whenever you Google for Tomorrowland, it's really hard to find that.
That's a bad movie anyway. You should watch
the black and white Tomorrowland.
The black and white one.
Yeah. But
It was on Netflix so for a while. It was sort of funny, but it's also...
Well, the good... What comes down to it...
It's not like the Disney version was any better.
Oh, no, that was so bad.
No.
I mean, it's a fun movie to watch because you're like, man, like, they really were in this park just doing this gorilla style, but... As an actual movie,
I like to imagine like somebody wearing like the Mickey Mouse costume just watching them do
Well, that's the best part because you're like they're talking to these vendors and stuff. And you're like, that's a real vendor at Disney World who doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
But. All right, I guess we'll see you next time, next week, on Geeks of the Square Table.
Alrighty.